If you've enjoyed listening to the Word of the Lord Endures Forever this year, please make a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. You can also donate by check. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support at the end of 2021.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
And so in the last day, we'll be done with the dangers of our own Egypt and Edom, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, all of which would lead us into revolt against the true King of Jerusalem.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Joel.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. In our last podcast, we heard God issue his challenge to the nations. Bring it on, boys. He summons them to war since they seem to be intent on maintaining their rebellions. He tells them, in an inversion of Isaiah 2, to beat their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears and get ready for battle, even the weak among them. And in stark contrast to the assembled nations, united in their rebellion, is the army which the Lord brings down with him from heaven, the holy angels who delight to do his commandments. And when he comes with those holy angels, he will be sitting in judgment in the valley of judgment, which, remember, is what Jehoshaphat means. And he will order the sickle to sweep through, and the winepress to be trodden, and their evil to be requited. He sees this countless multitude in the valley of decision, remember, not our decision for him, but his verdict upon humanity in rebellion. And it will be accompanied by the cosmic signs that mark the end of the age as the Lord roars from Zion, and the earth and the heavens shake at his voice. Yet that same voice is the voice of him who is a refuge for his people. The conclusion of the prophet Joel, the third chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God who dwells in Zion, my holy mountain. And Jerusalem shall be holy, and strangers shall never again pass through it. And in that day the mountains shall drip sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the stream beds of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord and water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall become a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, for the violence done to the people of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem to all generations. I will avenge their blood, blood I have not avenged, for the Lord dwells in Zion. Joel 3, verses 27 to 32. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, in your Son, you have promised good things beyond our imagining for those who love and wait for him. Help us so that our hearts may ever be fixed on his promised future, and that we may await his coming with great longing. We ask it in his most precious and holy name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, you're ready to dig into God's word for today and wrap up the book? Let's get to it. Verse 17. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who dwells in Zion, my holy mountain, and Jerusalem shall be holy, and strangers shall never again pass through it. Don't run past that so. It connects us right back to the previous verse, where the Lord's roaring from Zion, causing heaven and earth to quake, is the very sound of the one who is a refuge for his people. God's true Israel are those who find their stronghold and refuge in the words of the Lord. And on that day, God will reveal and disclose to his faithful and before all the world the truth that he truly dwelt in his holy mountain, his Mount Zion. Now, remember how we learned from Hebrews 12, verses 22 and following, that we've already arrived at this holy mount. We arrive there whenever we gather for the divine service that centers around the blood of the Lamb that blots out sins, and we join with angels and the spirits of the departed saints in worship. And how God's voice will once more shake the universe, so that what may not be shaken may remain, namely his eternal kingdom. Similarly, recall the vision from Daniel 2, verses 31 and following, about the stone cut without human hands that strikes the idol and brings it down, and then becomes a great mountain that fills the whole earth. That great mountain is Zion, but we now have access to it through God's means of grace, above all through his holy word. And yet, no one can see God dwelling in Zion, not till that day when we see the New Jerusalem descend out of heaven from God, the church finally revealed as she truly is. And so we read, "But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." So Joel sees the city at last, cleansed of all sin, and never again subject to the ungodly. Verse 18, "And in that day the mountains shall drip sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the stream beds of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord and water the valley of Shittim." In that day, in the day of the New Jerusalem, God promises overflowing abundance then, the mountains dripping sweet wine. Hey, remember how the Lord turned water into the best of wine in Cana of Galilee? It was a sign that he's the one who would bring Joel's prophecy to pass in the end. He is going to bring in the great feast, which Isaiah described, chapter 25, verse 6 and following, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food, full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. And it's all when he swallows up death forever. The fountain that comes forth from the house of the Lord is a theme that both the Old Testament and the New Testament pick up. See Ezekiel 47 or Revelation 22, and above all, see how they connect to Jesus at the Feast of Tabernacles in John 7, verses 37 through 39, where he connects the living waters that flow from his heart with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And remember that God calls himself the fountain of living waters. For instance, in Jeremiah 2, verse 13, "This abundance then is above all God's complete giving of himself to his people in the age to come, a self-giving that will not need faith to believe it, because it will be visible and evident to all. God's Spirit will water our dry places forever." Verse 19, "Egypt shall become a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness for the violence done to the people of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land." Egypt and Edom signify the ancient enemies of God's people who dare to war against his chosen. They become desolation and desolate. That is, they're emptied out. The enemies are now gone. They will no longer pose a threat to his own ever again. And so in the last day, we'll be done with the dangers of our own Egypt and Edom, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, all of which would lead us into revolt against the true King of Jerusalem. The place of the rebels will be empty. St. Jerome, the 4th century translator of the Bible into Latin, wrote of this, "Therefore, Whosoever has persecuted the people of God and has had leisure for earthly works and by a multitude of sins has daily poured out the blood of the innocent, namely of those whom he deceives, will be for perdition. When we recognize the souls of the martyrs crying out under the altar, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood from those who inhabit the earth? Verse 20. But Judah shall be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem to all generations. The emptiness of the rebels' land is in stark contrast to the multitudes that inhabit Judah and Jerusalem. This is nothing less than what St. John beheld in Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And remember how the angel tells John what he is seeing. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 7, verses 14 to 17. So, Holy Joel announces that these people will inhabit God's country, his city, forever and to all generations. That's a clear indication here of eternal life, where the people of God will be gathered into God's holy home and kept as his own for all ages of ages. Verse 21, I will avenge their blood, blood I have not avenged, for the Lord dwells in Zion. From the spilling of the blood of Abel all the way through the long and difficult centuries down to the present, it has often seemed that God has forgotten the sufferings of his people and their affliction. Jesus speaks of this in Matthew 23, verse 35, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Which means God hasn't forgotten a drop of their innocent blood, and he promises here finally to avenge it all. Remember that, ironically, there is but one way to escape the damning judgment of God, and that's to be found hiding under the blood of Jesus himself. That cry at his passion, his blood be on us and on our children, has a deeper meaning than we tend to see. Indeed, there is no greater prayer a person can pray than for Christ's blood to be upon them and theirs. But for those who will not shelter under his saving blood, his holy blood is united with all the innocent bloodshed that has spread like a sad river across human history, and it demands and will receive, finally, a redress. For behind it all, behind all innocent suffering and death inflicted upon the people of God, lies this truth, that it is all aimed squarely at the God in whom they have taken refuge, the God who truly dwells in his Zion among his own. And with that ominous note for evil, yet sweet comfort for those who trust his words, Joel's prophecy draws to its close. Yahweh's cry of, "Return to me," finally even includes this. I haven't forgotten any of your sufferings, my people. Wait and see. You will be avenged. And when it happens, you will sing for joy. If you want to get a taste of that, check out the joyous songs of Revelation 19, verse 2. Where the multitude of heaven's citizens triumph that God has at last avenged on her, the great prostitute, the blood of his servants. So where are we headed next? Back to the New Testament, back to St. Paul once more, and one of my absolute favorite writings, the book of Ephesians. We'll do just the introduction to that book next time and a little reflection on its relationship to Colossians. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can make a year-end, tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.